Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, we're back from the weekend. We're back from a lot of great football. And did you get my upset picks? Oklahoma. I know I have a lot of Ohio State fans out there. I have a daughter that goes to Ohio State. But Oklahoma looked too chippy to not bet on them. And I think one of the sleeper teams to watch is South Carolina. All of a sudden, as an underdog, they're now 2-0. Clemson looks good. And, of course, we had a few cancellations. And I think it's pretty interesting. I think it's going to be a great season. And, of course, New England got the crap kicked out of them by Kansas City. Is that dynasty over? We'll probably say probably not. In the meantime, today's show is brought to you by Audible Books, and of course, to get your free 30-day trial and your free download, all you need to do is go to audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show, and you can download a book and check it out. In the meantime, as we look back at last week, and what do we have? We have a market that's going to nowhere. It's like the bridge to nowhere. We've now got the market to nowhere. And what does that really mean? Well, I mean, it doesn't mean a lot. What it means is that we're really just in a consolidation phase, okay? We're really just in one big, wide, sweeping market that doesn't go up far enough to break out, doesn't go down far enough to break down, and I think that's probably what you're going to see. You see this in all markets. I mean, I think 65% of the time, we continue to see markets that consolidate anyways. So I don't think that should be an issue that anybody is concerned about. I think what you need to do is learn how to trade the range. I think that's important for those of you who want to trade more actively. I think that we can expect the markets to break out one way or the other. It could be both. We could get a spike to the upside and then a breakdown. I believe the longer in, like if we say in the next year, the markets will be lower than they are today. Okay. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean a lot right now because we're not going anywhere. I think that volatility continues to dry up. I think that we've got, you know, a lot of issues, and I think the markets are continuing to wait for a reason to do something. And I think one of the reasons that, you know, we haven't heard much about yet, but as I've said in the past, I believe that we need to be more proactive. For example, we have to be proactive with North Korea. I don't like sitting back waiting. I'm hoping, and I said, apparently I was wrong, that by Friday, the 8th of September, which obviously a couple of days ago, we would have done something. And of course, that's not true. It didn't happen. So, but I do think now China has kind of dropped the gauntlet, and China has kind of picked a side in this battle by simply saying that if we act first, if Trump acts first, then China will back North Korea 100%. To me, that's like a warning. You better not do that. And I go, screw you. You know, I'm going to worry about you guys now. I mean, this is, you know, the issue and the task at hand. And I guess let me ask you out straight. Do you really want to let the Chinese government dictate to us what we can and cannot do? North Korea is a bad area. At least, I'm not going to say all North Koreans are bad, but certainly Kim Jong-un is a bad guy. He is a killer. He has no regard. He doesn't care what happens. So do we want to continue to sit back and wait for him to actually get a missile to Guam or somewhere? or to Hawaii or to California or to New York? Or do we want to take care of business now? I believe, in my opinion, that we are in a national threat. I believe that it's a very scary time. And I believe that we should not allow ourselves to be pushed around. So I believe we need to go now. That's what I believe. Now, again, we've seen that sanctions have not really worked. And, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, there's not a better solution, but I don't know of a better solution. I don't know of a way to handle this situation without force. You know, we've watched for the last 8 years, you know, of the peaceful negotiations that have not worked. Well, we've done is allowed these foreign governments that we don't want to get stronger, you know, Iraq, Iran, you know, obviously still in Afghanistan, North Korea. So by ignoring it, where have we gotten? And that's why I think that it's time for us, the United States of America, to say enough. Okay. I believe we're losing some of our power and losing some of the respect that we have. And certainly if a few of these nations started to pair up, I think that would cause a bigger problem as well. One of the things that keeps kind of everything at bay is everybody knows that there is no winner when it comes to nuclear war. Okay? There is no winner. So how do we invent it? Obviously, it's the fear of anybody creating that vision. But in the meantime, you cannot, you know, let's say if you've got, let's say China, Russia, the United States, as the big anchors, okay? You can't allow a North Korea or an ISIS or any of those smaller groups to create havoc here and then allow or forgive China for picking that side. I think that's where it needs to be taken care of. Now, again, will that be the black swan in the market? Well, I don't know. Again, there's no telling what will be the market driver. There is no telling what will show the end. But one of the things that I do know, okay, is if you don't, as my friend Barney Fife used to say from Andy Griffin, if you don't nip it in the bud, you're creating a problem. And quite frankly, and I'm too old, I don't want to get bombed, all right? But really, what I'm really concerned about is obviously, look, if I had to myself take the bullet for my family, I would take the bullet, okay? If that would solve it, I would certainly step in front of it. And, you know, again, I've lived long enough. I'm not worried about it. But I don't want, you know, future generations of anybody's kids. But I would step in front of it because I don't want to be under this constant fear of what's going to happen next. We got enough problems to deal with. Okay. Listen, even in Chicago, the murder capital of the world, I got enough to worry about, deal about with that alone. But my simple point is that we need to take back the true leadership role that we have in this world, because I believe we've given up some of it. I think we've weakened ourselves due to the last administration of kissing ass. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I want to remind you that LibertyTalk.fm, you can download The Bubba Show every single day. But also now you can go to BubbaTrading.com every day around 5 Eastern, and I'll give you my quick market recap, a little bit, you know, something you can do that I'll do via podcast and TV. And in the meantime, you download The Bubba Show at LibertyTalk.fm, and you also download The Sporting Edge. And of course, at BubbaTrading.com, you can look at our new programs. We got the hedging starting tomorrow night and the future starting on Wednesday. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more.
Yeah. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for Indiana Wants Me, the one who brings good things to life. Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report. What's up, Jane King, and how is Indiana?
Hey, Todd. It was great. And you know, by the way, on the flip side of that Indiana Wants Me song is Gotta See Jane. So I'm just saying,
hey.
You know, kind of weird, but that's true.
All right. So, as you know, every week we talk, something crazy happens. And of course, I don't know if there's anything more crazy than Schumer, Pelosi, and Trump in the same room together. What did you think of all that?
Nothing surprises me anymore. Well, you know, hey, at least I got something done. I mean, it's, I think he was sending a very clear message to the Freedom Caucus that you got to compromise a little, and we got to work, and we got to get stuff done. And they're not happy about it, but he's different. I mean, he's not, I mean, that's what we voted for. We wanted somebody to go to Washington and get things done and shake things up. And that's, you know, what he's doing. And this is the best evidence of that. So we'll look again in 3 months, but I think he's kind of teaching a lesson to some Republicans that we gotta get some legislation here and get some things moving.
No, I agree. And of course it's a tragedy what's going on, obviously in Texas, that created part of this. And of course what's going to happen in Florida. But at the end of the day, that this is, you know, because I was hoping they would shut the government down for a little bit, because I think he might have done that. But of course, now he's kind of forced, because you know what I hate about the debt ceiling debates always is both sides of the aisle are both jerks, and they both kind of come out and say, well, we're going to take care of you. In the meantime, we, you know, we pay for it. So, but it would have been nice to see if we didn't have these disasters, what would have happened, because I'd like to see them start to try to cut some of this debt down. I mean, I know you teach, you know, financial literacy to kids. And, you know, one of the biggest things you can ever, biggest problems is too much debt. And I think obviously we're in that position. Would you agree with that?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, absolutely. There's no question. I mean, I'm surprised that the debt that we have has not been a bigger issue at some point. I mean, I keep waiting for it to happen because it's so huge. And it's just, I mean, at some point we got to pay for this. I mean, we can't just keep raising the debt ceiling and printing more money. I mean, this could potentially be just an enormous financial disaster. So they have to figure it out. I mean, it's extremely tough. I mean, it involves, you know, health care, and it involves Social Security, and all those things need to be reined in. And it's going to be really, really difficult to do. I mean, we can't even get, you know, Congress to vote on much, much simpler things. So, but it needs to be done. It has to be at some point in the next 10 to 15 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just obviously we can't keep kicking the next generation, hoping that it goes away. But on the lighter side, but on a very important side, I know that we were talking and you had just gotten your son a new phone. Well, a used phone, but a new phone. But I found it interesting that you had him sign a contract for that phone. And well, I mean, tell us about what you did and how you did it and how you're going to enforce it.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that he understood that this was an expensive device, not just, you know, money-wise, but also just he had to treat it with respect and be responsible with it. And so I wrote up a contract, and, you know, it said things like, if he loses it or damages it, he doesn't get a new one for 6 months. You know, we have control over it. So basically he has to tell us our password, his passwords on there. That was another one. There can be no bullying on there. Don't do anything on your phone that you wouldn't want your grandma to see. So that was it. So I had like, I don't know, 15 kind of, you know, little clauses in this so-called contract. And then at the end he had to sign it, and I think he thought it was great, and we all made copies, and he's been great with it so far. He has to put it away by 9 p.m. at night. That was another one. So just try to teach him responsible use of an electronic device.
Maybe you can take over the government and teach them some responsible use of our money. What do you think?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. But no, I think that's great. And I think, look, this is one of the things that you and I both strive for, is to create, you know, financial literacy and how to be a more responsible human being from a younger age. Because again, you know, many people that are our age, well, I'm much older than you, but many people your age or my age still don't really understand how the financial world works. And I think that's really one of the biggest downfalls we have and why we let so many things slip by. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it really isn't that complicated. I think we tend to make, and it can be. I mean, if you're really deep in finance, it is super complicated. But if you're just trying to live like a life and put some money away and buy a home and things like that, I mean, you just, it's not, I mean, it's basically living below your means, having some organization skills, just kind of knowing, you know, paying your bills on time and having a system. Those kind of things can really lead to a, you know, financially responsible life. So however deep you want to get into it, you can, but just the basic stuff, it's really pretty easy to do if people just put a little bit of effort into it. It's worth it. It's worth the effort to have good credit and have some money saved. I mean, there's a huge amount of Americans have little or no net worth. It's terrifying.
And I agree, but I think, so I'm going to go over that one topic. You said it was complicated, deep in finance, but why is, for example, let's look at the government. That's what we started with. I mean, why is it so complicated? I mean, the bottom line is if you spend more than you take in, you can't overcome that. And we understand that there are some emergencies, but I mean, normal people, you, me, and others, we have to put money away for emergency and we can't buy all the things that we want to buy. And I don't understand why the government can't live on that same plane of being more fiscally responsible instead of, you know, giving away lots of money to lots of people and overpaying for most of the things they do. And of course, a lot of it's got to do with, you know, healthcare that we end up paying for people that don't have any healthcare. And I think those are all issues that need to be addressed. What do you think?
Well, I think that's one reason when I heard this when I went back home to Indiana, too, is that people want more business people in office. And I think that really helped Donald Trump get elected was that they thought he was going to come in. He was going to negotiate better deals. I loved, they were talking about NAFTA and a reporter asked him, well, Mexico doesn't like this deal. And he's like, of course they don't like the deal. It's not in their favor because I'm the president of the United States. I'm not here negotiating for Mexico. So, I mean, it just shows like this huge societal lack of understanding about what are we really doing here? So, I think, you know, if he was allowed to, and other business people were allowed to kind of come in and apply some of the negotiating skills that they've used in the business world and some just, you know, what you do when you run a business, they could do that. I mean, the trouble is, you know, too many voters and it's becoming more and more expect the government to save their butts and expect them to take care of them. And we just can't. I mean, we can't have that kind of attitude and have a balanced budget. We have to all get together and say we have some personal responsibility here. I mean, I agree. You know, individuals can't take care of like what we're seeing and, you know, with Hurricane Harvey and Irma. But we do need to put money away. We can't be buying homes with no down payments. I mean, those are the kind of things that are common sense things that we see too much of these days.
No, and I agree. And of course, that's why you put money away for a rainy day, for a Hurricane Harvey and things like that. I mean, again, obviously it's devastation and I get it, but I think we're far and away past that. And you know, we had obviously the talk on DACA this week. What were your thoughts of that whole situation?
Well, you know, my overriding feeling of the whole thing was, here's a problem that everybody's so emotional about and so angry about that really never had to happen. I mean, if we would have just followed the law for the last 30 years, we wouldn't have this issue today. So basically, our lawmakers had done their job and enforced our laws that are on the books regarding immigration, we wouldn't be having this, you know, this conversation and these arguments about DACA today. And then here comes President Obama, you know, signing an executive order about it. I mean, just basically, you know, making it even bigger mess. And so it all goes back to really just, you know, behaving responsibly, following the law, making decisions and thinking about the long-term implications of them. So my overriding feeling about the DACA thing was like, we shouldn't be here. I mean, if lawmakers would have done what they're supposed to do to begin with.
Jane King, that's why you bring good things to life, because you always bring the truth. My friend Jane King, Lila makes me the Continuing Report. Thanks so much. And I always appreciate having you on.
Thanks, Todd. Okay.
Of course, that was our friend Jane King. And she was brought to you by our friends at Audible Books. And of course, you know, listen, they've got 180,000 titles to choose from. They've got almost any book you could imagine. And again, I get Stuart Woods a lot, the Stone Barrington series, a little bit of John Grisham, but also you know, fed up by our friend Danielle DiMartino Booth, who's been on the show many times. You can get that there as well. So go to audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show. Again, that's audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show to get your free download, one free month, and check it out. What do you got to lose? In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, and of course, libertytalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekend. So make sure you go do that. And we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. Todd Bubba Horwitz, The Bubba Show, coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. It is me, Todd Bubba Horwitz, on this glorious Monday football weekend. What could make me happier, especially because I picked pretty good. But in the meantime, okay, what do we got going on here? We got a bunch of nothing. But I think one of the things we do have, and one of the things we do need to be concerned about, is the debt ceiling and we'll call this the stealing from the middle class. The burglary without the gun, the white-collar criminal of the Federal Reserve, the Ponzi scheme in which they run, the scam artist at the government, and, of course, the raising of the debt ceiling. Now, again, I understand what's going on in Texas, and I understand what's going on in Miami, and I understand what might go on with Jose. So we got Harvey, Irma, and Jose. Never liked any of those names. No, I'm just kidding. But at the end of the day, all right, now you mean to tell me that we would not have bailed them out if there was not a debt ceiling raise? I find that kind of hard to believe. I find most things hard to believe. I believe that something would have been done either way. And of course, this is going to be a great tragedy when it's all said and done, with many, many people losing their houses, uninsured. And I don't even know what to say. That's beyond control of what I could even think of saying. But back to the debt ceiling. Okay. The debt ceiling is something that allows you and me to pay the debt for the idiocy that goes on in Washington, D.C., at the Federal Reserve, within the banking system, and everywhere else. Which means that you and me get to pay the bill for everybody else's crap. And quite frankly, at this point in time, I am tired of paying the bills for everybody else. At this point in time, I'm tired of being robbed and ripped off. And basically, that's what we're getting done. We're getting robbed and ripped off because you know that the House and the Senate, they don't take pay cuts. Why aren't they taking pay cuts? All right. Why aren't they taking pension cuts? All right. So we're really going to sit here and believe that they have our best interests at heart. Okay. They don't. They only have their own interests at heart. And quite frankly, at this point in time, I'm sick of it. At this point in time, I want it done. I want it out. And I want no debt ceiling raise, which I understand they're going to do it. I appreciated the fact that Trump took the initiative to meet with Pelosi and Schumer. I do not necessarily like the result. Now, again, I believe there has to be a better way that we could have helped Houston and Miami. and others without having to raise a debt ceiling. But again, I'm not into it that hard. But because what the Federal Reserve is doing is illegal to begin with, and because they're running the largest Ponzi scheme in history, okay, legal, but a Ponzi scheme just the same, I can't tell you what they could have done, because again, I don't really know what to do, but I assure you we could have done something other than raising the debt ceiling. I don't know why that had to be tied in here. And what really concerns me as they continue to cripple my dollar and contribute to take money out of my pockets, which is only making the cryptocurrency stronger. And then acts like in Japan, who are trying to strike down these things. But we'll get back to that in a minute. But I can only comprehend what's in front of me, you know, simple. But there has to be a better way to help the regions that were affected by these hurricanes and storms versus having to raise the debt ceiling to do so. And the devastation that's going to be caused in the – now – we look at it from a couple of different sides. There's going to be a lot of, obviously, lost homes and a lot of people that are going to be broke and didn't have insurance. But you're going to also have a dramatic and tremendous rebuilding of those areas, which are going to be good stimulants for economies, especially local economies in Houston and Miami, because there's going to be a lot of jobs. There's going to be a lot of rebuilding. Now, again, every war we've ever had has created a great economic boom time. Now, I don't expect this to be a boom time, and certainly, obviously, the circumstances are sad around it, but you can bet that it's going to help a lot of the retailing stores. It's going to help a lot of places to make money and, of course, create jobs. So that's the good part of a bad story, okay? You know, again, bad news, horrific. We can't, obviously, express enough of our sadness of what happened, but it happened. So now what can we do to take care of it? And, of course, that's where many will now benefit with full-time jobs and things like that, and hopefully with benefits and the whole thing. Because there's going to be it's going to take a lot of stuff down there. And then, of course, it's going to be how many people the insurance company is going to have to hire, which they will. So there's going to be a lot of economic return out of what happens down there. But back to the debt ceiling, which, again, phony. Ridiculous. You know, again, I can't say crooked. I'd like to say crooked. In my opinion, how about that? It's not on the up and up. But again, so that takes us to the cryptocurrencies. And of course, they continue to expand. And we're getting more, which that kind of concerns me. But if we look at the majors, the Bitcoin, Monero and Ethereum, they continue to thrive in these markets. And they're thriving for a couple of reasons. Number one, because I don't have to show if I want to travel out of the country and I want to bring more than 10,000, I don't have to declare. I can bring it in my Bitcoin wallet, which travels with me everywhere, or any of the cryptocurrency wallet. I think that China's act in trying to push down the cryptocurrencies and ban them is another sign that we're going to be in better shape. I think that you're seeing probably some concerns by the Fed and by the banks of a problem here. Again, if these things take off and continue, they will have a great deal of destruction on the overall economy from the dollar standpoint, because people, if it does work, people will stop using dollars. People will stop using euros. They'll stop using everything because, again, why deal in an environment that you are subject to be screwed at any time? Okay. Why deal where you're subject to be devalued at any point in time without notice? Okay. Now, again, what is the nice thing about the cryptocurrencies? Well, again, I'm still not like 100% sold. Like, I wouldn't be buying Bitcoin at 5,000, but I might buy Ethereum at a few hundred. I'm certainly going to buy BitShares cheap. But again, those are little gamble plays, and I'm not worried about it. But again, my point is simply that we're going to have these things look like they're going to be real. And I'm sure they'll decide on a few, and I'm sure that the government will try to get involved here somewhere. But this is a true free market. Okay, there is no centralized market, and it trades every day, 7 days a week. So it doesn't close until you can't trade it anymore. It trades 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So again, I think there's a real home for those now. Again, from bashing them years ago, wish I would have been buying them. I wish I would have been buying instead of bashing, but I wasn't. But I'm now starting to see the bigger picture that others saw years ago. And I think that it's going to be something that will be really in play. I think then when you look at some of the major companies that do accept it now, okay, that just tells you that they're looking for it and they understand it. So I'm saying that the reason you have, you know, when you have third world countries, that you can't get your money in and out of when you want it, okay, you have a Bitcoin that they have no control over. They don't know about it, okay? And I think that's also starting to take the place of some gold and silver purchases, because I think what you're seeing is that it's easier. You know, if I have to spy gold and store it somewhere, where am I going to store it? And who's going to take, you know, who's going to steal from me? I mean, honestly, you know, if I store silver, okay, other than in my own house and hide it, okay, or gold, you know, I'm always at risk that somebody's going to come in and abscond it, okay, from the bank through the vaults. So I'm always worried. All right. Again, I've seen things happen over the years. But again, if I have the cryptocurrency, so that's why I think you're seeing a lot of money flow there. And I think that's why it is actually outperforming gold. Now, gold has been doing very well. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. But gold and silver have been performing extremely well. But I think they'd be doing even better if there was no cryptocurrency to think about. Okay. So it looks like the cryptos are starting to do some damage. Looks like they're starting to take better hold. And again, good. I have no problem, because again, what I like about them, from what I can tell, is they are a true free market. And that's what we're missing in this country, is a true free market. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and I am Mr. Bubba. All right, Bubba. And of course, I want to remind you that tomorrow night, and we start our hedging class again. And Wednesday night, we start our day trading futures. I urge you to check out the programs at BubbaTrading.com, as well as our daily video update of what happened in the markets. And don't forget, you got to download the Bubba Show every single day at LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show, the Bubba Show, and the Sporting Edge. First of all, you got to help a brother out, right? But no, in the meantime, again, that's where you go to download it. In the meantime, I'm going to stop out here for a break. I will be right back with more of the Bubba Show. Ty Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. Will be right back. Welcome back, Kyler. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. I'm Arnold Horshack. Ooh, 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 ooh. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. Great to have you on this Monday. And before I forget, let me give you my predictions for tonight's game. I like the Denver Bronco and the Minnesota Viking. Okay, that would be my picks for tonight. But in the meantime, all right, so what's going on with gold and silver and oil? And for that matter, farm products. Well, I think that if we look at it, we've got gold. There's gold in them there hills. I think gold is a commodity that has started to do well. I think that the bear market is over. I think that we have a nice run. Now, I would expect that probably, you know, we collapsed on Friday at 13. Let me rephrase it. We went down from 1362 overnight. I think 1377 is in play. And I think there's where you, again, I'm not looking to be really a seller. You may want to look to take a little profits. But I think that, I think that you got to be careful there. And I think that silver, you know, 1850 or so. I think 18 is going to hold on the downside. I think 1340 is going to hold on the downside in gold. I think that maybe the weakness in the U.S. dollar may finally be helping. But again, I'm not really so much in belief of that. One of the things I do understand is the dollar, with its major manipulation. You know, we've had some major stuff going on with the euro currency, for example, and of course that's been reaching up to unbelievable levels. And I think that at the end of the day, I think the real problem is that you've got a situation that is out of control. Okay. Now, I believe that even the euro currency feels that it's the ECB feels that they're out of control, because I think that what they see is they see that their currency is getting much too strong. And of course, I never could figure out what differences it made. But of course, when you're not really truly dealing in the free market system and you're dealing in the phony system of manipulation and Ponzi schemes, I guess it makes sense. They have to figure it out. And which is, you know, the currency wars were started by our good friend Ben Bernanke. Okay. I think that at the end of the day, our issue and problem has to be is we need to let them go back to free floating, not free floating with the ability to manipulate them. And that, again, is one of the problems that I see. And one of the concerns that I have is that we've got people, listen, there are really smart people and they understood business. I still wouldn't be happy, but I could live with it. Okay. But we don't have smart people from a business standpoint that are handling our stuff. Do you know that probably I would venture to say that 50% of the Congress and the Senate have no idea of what makes the economy tick. That 50% have no idea what makes the stock market tick. Okay. That 50% of them have no clue of where they are. Okay. But yet there they are, the people in power. I would venture to say that the Federal Reserve, the ECB, and all the other central banks are absolutely clueless, which I've said already, so it's not like it's a surprise, of what happens in the real world. Okay, now again, it's beautiful to live in a paper world. Okay, it's beautiful that everybody gets along, but we can obviously see that that is not the case. Okay, everybody does not get along, like it or not. Everybody does not care for one another, and of course, we, as I mentioned earlier, we could see a little showdown between China and the United States over North Korea. So, again, we don't live in an artificial world. We don't live in a plastic world. We live in the real world. And the real world says simply that you cannot manipulate economies and you cannot manipulate currency. You need to let markets do what they're supposed to do. You cannot decide for the market what's supposed to do. We've seen this disaster. Just take a look at what's going on with the treasury yields. We're seeing 10 years sub 2%, going to be sub 2% pretty soon. The 30s are sub 2.7 already. You don't think there's a problem with that? You don't think that tells you that the economies themselves are in trouble? Okay. Again, wake up if you don't understand that. Okay. That these low bond prices are telling you the overall demand for money is down. Now, we always thought that it was down because the banks wouldn't lend it, which I think was the purpose for a while, but I happen to know now banks are lending. Okay, they're lending like crazy if they can. They're out there once again buying notes. You don't think that's not going to lead to another financial calamity, do you? They're out there buying up stuff. Okay. They're buying all the loans they can get. Now, again, you tell me why. I cannot answer that question. Okay, I can just tell you that they're thirsting for more money. So the only way they make more is they have to lend more out. That's where they build their balance sheet from. But again, they also know that guess what? The Federal Reserve is there to bail them out. Now, again, I don't like that portion of it. Why is the Federal Reserve? Why do I have to pay for a bank that goes out of business due to stupidity? That's what I want to know. Okay. Why do I have to pay for a bank going bad? I don't understand that. I mean, that's what FDIC insurance is for, is to bail out the depositors. Why should I bail out the bank owners? Okay. I have no interest in bailing out the bank owners. I don't like, I mean, I think we need to go back to the Glass-Steagall. All right. This Dodd-Frank is a joke. And quite frankly, I'm sick of it. All right. But again, if we look at the overall model that we're seeing right now, what do we have? We got problems. All right. And the problem, the bigger problems are that we're going to end up bailing out the big banks once again through the Fed, because again, we pay the bill. So the Fed that operates somewhat illegally because it has no business in printing more money or making more money, but I'm sure there's a way they got around it. You know, again, I don't have all the ins and outs, but I can tell you that by the letter of the law, it ain't good. Okay, we've got Stanley Fisher stepping down. Gee, what a shock. Okay, I'm sure there's more to that story as well. But in the meantime, we got problems, and we continue to ignore them. And to me, that really pisses me off. Okay, because again, there's a lot of us here. What do we all know for sure? Okay, that we are going to pay for it one way or another. We don't get to escape this. You don't think we're not paying for the farmers right now? Okay, with their ridiculously low grain prices right now? I mean, you don't think this was by chance? This is all due to the unintended consequences of what the Fed has created. I mean, the dollar couldn't be much lower, okay, and they're still not getting benefit. So what happened? Okay, it used to be, you know, the dollar because of the dollar-denominated products, but it's not working that way. Now, again, it should come back in line at some point, but this just goes to show you that it doesn't mean that much. Okay, again, this is something that we have to understand. Take a look at the beatdown on the dollar. Okay, the gold has not gotten near where it was last time the dollar was here. Oil is lower. Commodity prices are lower. Yet the dollar is down 15%. I don't know. Something not logical there. As I wrote on Saturday, it smells like a dead fish. Something is fishy out there. I don't know what it is, but it certainly stinks. And of course, as always, it will come to the head of the line. And we'll hear about it eventually, but only when we're getting our tax bill so that we get to help subsidize it. In the meantime, thank you all so much for being here. We were sponsored today by Audible Books. And of course, they've got over 180,000 titles for you to choose from. Certainly, you can go to audibletrial.com/TheBubba Show to get your free trial. Again, that's audibletrial.com/TheBubba Show to get your free trial. And don't forget to go to Bubba's Bottom Line. We can do that one first. At BubbaTrading.com, you can get that. It'll be there at 5 minutes every day about the markets, plus obviously our 30-minute episode. And, of course, LibertyTalk.fm, you can download the Bubba Show every day as well as the Spring Engine Weekend. Phew. And that'll do it for today. Good night. Enjoy Monday Night Football. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Top Bubba Wars. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you later.
Turn the noise down. Let this...
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.